Chapter 7. Mr. Black. This might be hard to believe, but the next Black lived in our apartment building, just one floor above us. But strangely, I'd never seen him. I walked up to his apartment and tried my key in the lock. It didn't fit, so I knocked loudly on the door. After an incredibly long time, the door opened.
"Hello! Can I help you?"
A very old man asked extremely loudly. "Yes, hello. I live downstairs. May I please ask you a few questions?" I said. He turned to walk back into the apartment. I guessed that I was supposed to follow him, so I did. We went into the kitchen and sat down at the table. Then he just started to talk, still extremely loudly.
"Well, I've had an amazing life," he told me.
I thought that was strange because I hadn't asked him any questions yet.
"I was born on January 1st, 1900. I lived every day of the 20th century."
He told me that he had lived through both world wars and that he had been a journalist. His job had been to write about wars. His wife hadn't liked that. He was very interesting, and we talked for a long time. Then, I took out the key and asked him about it.
"No, I don't know what that key opens,"
he shouted. "Did you know my dad, Thomas Shell? He lived on the floor below you," I said.
"No, I don't know that name."
"Are you 100% sure?" I asked.
"I've lived long enough to know that I'm not 100% anything."
I decided that I really liked him. "Where is your wife?" I asked him.
"Oh, she died 24 years ago, but it feels like yesterday."
"Oops," I said. "I'm sorry I asked about her."
"No, don't be sorry. Thinking about her is all I have now. I haven't left this apartment since she died."
"What? You haven't been outside for 24 years?" I said. I couldn't believe it.
"That's right. My feet haven't touched the ground. I just call for food and they bring it to me. I order my clothes and pens over the phone."
"But you used to travel so much," I told him. "Don't you miss the world?"
"I do, very much,"
he replied. My boots were very, very heavy now. This lonely man had been right near me all my life, and I hadn't known. I hadn't been able to help him. We sat there in silence for a few moments. Then, suddenly, I thought of something. Something enormous and wonderful. "Do you want to help me to find the lock?" I asked. "You're really clever, and you know a lot. And it would be great to have a friend who's an adult with me. Please say yes." He looked at me, then closed his eyes and became quiet. I wasn't sure if he was thinking about the idea, or thinking about something else, or if he was asleep. After a while, I said, "Mr. Black?" Nothing. I touched his arm, and he looked up suddenly.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. I was looking at your mouth earlier and guessing what you were saying,
he said.
I turned these off a long, long time ago.
He was pointing to his hearing aids, which I hadn't noticed before. Shall I turn them on for you? I asked him. He looked at me and smiled a little. I walked behind him and looked carefully at the hearing aids.
Do it very, very slowly,
he said. There was a very small wheel on the back of each one, and I turned each one slowly and carefully. Then I sat down opposite him. We looked at each other. Then, suddenly, lots of birds flew by the window, extremely fast and incredibly close. There were about 20 of them. Mr. Black immediately put his hands over his ears and started to cry. Mr. Black, are you okay? I whispered, very gently. The sound of my voice made him cry more, and he nodded his head to say yes. He stood up and walked around the room, listening carefully to anything that made a noise. I wanted to stay there watching him listen to the world, but it was late. I told him I would come to his apartment the next Saturday at 7 a.m. We'll start the next part of the mission then, I told him. My boots were incredibly heavy after I met Mr. Black. When Mom put me to bed later that night, I told her, Mom, please promise that you won't bury me when I die. She sat next to me and put her hand on my cheek. You're not going to die anytime soon. You have a long, long life ahead of you. But I can't spend forever in an extremely small box underground. Don't you want to be buried next to me and Dad? What? But Dad isn't even there. But his memory is there. No, it's not. It's just a stupid empty box, I told her. Oscar, his body isn't there. Don't talk like that. I was really angry now. Why not? It's true. Oscar, stop saying these things. No, I shouted, and don't lie to me. Lie to you? About what? Where were you? Where was I when? On the day Dad died. I was at work, she told me. Why didn't you pick me up from school like all the other moms? Why weren't you here when I got home? I shouted angrily. I got home as soon as I could. I wanted to be here, but it wasn't possible. I don't care. Mom didn't say anything. She just started to cry. I slowly moved closer to her and put my head on her shoulder. I miss Dad, I said.
So do I,
she told me. Do you really? Mom said,
Of course I do. How could you ask that?
But I hear you laughing, I said, when you're in the living room with Ron.
I do laugh every now and then, but that doesn't mean I've forgotten Dad. I cry a lot, too,
she said quietly. I don't see you cry.
I try not to cry in front of you. Oscar, I'm trying to find ways to feel happy again. Are you in love with Ron? I asked her. Ron is a great person, she said. Why do adults often give you an answer to a question you haven't asked? I stared at her, and she said, He's my friend. He's having a difficult time too, and we help each other.
Promise me that you won't fall in love.
Why would you ask me to promise that?
Either promise me that you'll never fall in love again, or I'm going to stop loving you, I told her.
Oscar, you're not being fair.
I don't have to be fair. I'm your son.
She let out an enormous breath and said, You remind me a lot of your father.
I want Dad to be here now, I told her.
And then I said something very, very bad. I didn't know I was going to say it, and it was something nobody should ever say. Why can't you be dead instead? She looked at me for a second, then stood up and walked out of the room. I wanted her to shout at me, but she didn't. She walked out and then closed the door gently, like she always did. I could hear that she didn't walk away. Mom? I heard nothing. I got up and went to the door. I take it back. You can't take something like that back, I heard through the door. That made me feel very, very sad. I lay on the hard floor for a long time. And then I took out the old phone. I needed to hear Dad's voice.
Message 3, Tuesday, September 11th, 9:31 a.m. Hello? Hello? Hello?